Today's scripture reading is from Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. If you want to follow along, and I encourage you to, it's on page 1820 in your pew Bible. Many of you will recognize this passage when we get to a certain part, and I don't blame you because you hear it every week. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that's at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Well, let me comment on a couple things. You noticed the bulletin, I'm sure. Isn't that a great picture of the church? And that picture, I don't know who took that picture, but there was this hoodie riding down the street on this little scooter, and being a motorcycle rider myself, I stopped him and I said, "Hey, tell me about your bike." And so he made that bike, and so I asked him if I could ride it, and it was wonderful. I'd like to ask Jim King, if you're here, if you'd please join me. And while he is coming, I just want to introduce to you my son Eric, his son Sam. Could you both stand? And Don Nelson, where are you? Yeah, back there. These are family. I made some of them. Eric's wife, Allison, and Hannah will join us here in just a few, in just a little bit. And Don's wife, Leslie, my sister, is working with FEMA on a disaster site in Texas, and so she'll be finishing that project. But Jim, the reason I'm bringing you up is because you did something pretty bodacious. Okay? We only have about a minute. Tell us what you did.
Well, on June 25th, as I like to do solo motorcycle rides. So basically, a couple of years ago, I went from here to the Panama Canal. And part of my bucket list is to be able to go from the top of as far as I can drive on a motorcycle up and as far as I can go down. So this trip took me through British Columbia, Yukon, up into Alaska, and up to Prudhoe Bay. There's a motorcycle road called the Dalton Highway. It's about 413 miles. And it's just gravel roads, mud, everything else. It's just an endurance ride.
But that was the short part.
That was a short part.
Total, how many miles did you ride?
9,111, I think.
Incredible! Yeah. Hey, thank you, Jim. Blessings. I just wanted to highlight this. Yes, today there are going to be a couple of disturbances, and this is one of them. Come on up here, children. This is the mission statement of the church. Oh, it looks really beautiful from here. Can you turn it around and show the people? Go ahead and turn around, show the people. That's it. And we're gonna say it all together. Love God, love people, and serve. Today I want to talk about really my favorite subject, and that is that God is able. Say that with me. God is able. Let's remember how God was able to do some stuff in this church. Because if we can see how God was involved in this church over this many weeks and that many Sundays, since 1882, there have been over 7,000 weeks and Sundays. I've read the minutes of this church from day one. There are names, people in there that we will never know, we've never heard of, and yet they faithfully served the Lord and advanced the kingdom in this church for all these decades. Some 25 pastors, starting with a fellow named Duncan Monroe. And all these weeks, ever since then, imagine the number of weddings, funerals, baptisms, the number of sermons. And it was with this image right here. Please show the next slide. It's with this image right here that the church has been showing and making its purpose of helping people to connect not only with God, but also with people. I want to review some of the history of how the hand of God has been on this congregation and helping its people make a connection. This was the first church that we had. It was in 1883. It still exists. And some of you live in that building even now. I understand that it has served many purposes. And then our ancestors in the faith built this property in 1903, and it's on this site right here that they purchased the land. But then someone burnt it down about 10 years later, and so we camped out across the street in an Odd Fellows place, and we stayed there for many years until this next site was, this next building was put up, and that served the congregation well until 1954. And then we built our current site. Many of you will remember Dr. Bob Christensen. In fact, you called him Dr. Bob. And you considered him to be probably at the apex and the pastor that you remember the most, and he led the golden years of this church. He and others brought in over 1,200 members into this building. And this place became a powerful community hub for all kinds of ministry. This church, I understand, has started three other churches even in the area. But you saw a human cry out in the community. You saw the need for low-cost housing. And so you built these towers in 1976, two of them. There are almost 300 units there. Some of you even live in those places, and they're just right across the street. Well, thank God for the pastors and the elders and you as a congregation who had the vision to and the sacrifice to put up those buildings. Well, we went from the high rises to some low lifes. You will remember, some of you, that this church was an instrument for change and blessing this city. How many of you were involved at the time when we bought and renovated the Porno Theater? Let me see. Okay, enough of you know that what I'm saying is true. My understanding is that 38 years ago, you put up $500,000 to do what nobody else could do, and that is to buy that place for the purpose of shutting it down. Some of you were involved in the vote and then the renovation, and the estimates that I've seen is that over 15,000 hours are put into the process of cleaning that place up. Well, that building has been redeemed. Now it's a church, a thriving church. However, the life of a church is not just its buildings. It also is its people. And in the years that followed, we seem to have lost our way. We lost our vision of advancing the kingdom and doing basic ministry. Instead of fighting for mission, we fought each other. And it reflected in the membership loss. We lost over 1,000 people. Many thought that the problem was our denomination, and that the solution was to leave. I will be among the first to tell you that our denomination does have problems. It is broken. It is fallen. But they did not cause us the problems. We lived in denial, and we were blaming them for what we should have been blaming ourselves for. Our problem was that we had forgotten our basic mission, which is to make disciples. And so, a little more than 2 years ago, the elders of this church invited me to come. And as I got acquainted with the staff and the elders and the members, I was taken aback by the level of anxiety. I was truly alarmed. And I felt like this congregation was circling the drain hole. The level of paralysis was such that it could not be sustained without causing serious problems to the future of this church. If this church had any chance of survival, the fighting had to stop. And so at a special session meeting, I asked the elders, is there any more information you need to make a decision? Because, as you know, they had been in an intense discernment process for 2 years, and probably 10 years before that in serious discussion. They were afraid, quite frankly, of making a decision. They thought that they would lose more people. Well, by not deciding, the hemorrhage would continue. And so I remember telling them, hey, you've already lost 1,000. Let's go ahead and assume we lose everybody else. Let's start with that. We still have, though, fabulous facilities, a great staff, an ideal location, and faithful people who will still continue to support and work and give. There are a lot of unchurched people in this town, and those people need a church that will reach out to them. It's no mistake that we have five other churches who are meeting at this camp on this campus and who are doing that very work. Two of those churches are here right now. Can I ask Pastor Aldoberto, would you please stand? He is the pastor of the Iglesia Baptista del Pueblo Church. Remain standing. And then also, Ruth, are you here? Pastor Ruth, are you here? Okay, there's another church that's meeting here. I just, while pastors are standing, can I ask Pastor Chris, would you stand? Yeah, you. Pastor Chris Chase, would you stand? Yeah, Okay, here's what Pastor Chris has done. He gave us Rebecca. Two other pastors, Pastor Ann and Pastor Dale. These are folks that have been leading us. And these are, Pastor Aldoberto, his church is going to be organizing us on worldwide communion, bringing all the churches together, you and Manny and others, and we're going to be having a celebration here. Let me correct my grammar. You're going to be having an inspired service at that time. Well, on that special session night, I took a deep breath, and I said, tonight, the fighting stops. You're going to vote tonight, now. And I handed out 3x5 cards. Each elder took a card, and I instructed them to move away from the table. And for 5 minutes, I instructed them to listen to the Holy Spirit, to vote their conscience, and to write one of two words on the card. Stay, leave. One of those two words. If you believe that the Holy Spirit speaks, then trust that the Spirit is going to speak to you in the next 5 minutes. And then I'll call you back and turn your cards into Annabelle, the clerk of session at that point. So I want to ask the following elders to please stand. David Dowell, Ron Potts, Ann Johnson, Daryl McComb, Rogene Baxter, Cindy Weller, John Myers, David Stearns, Marilyn Wallenweber, Jerry Catt, and Annabelle Horgan. They remain standing, folks. The Book of Order describes how we are to govern ourselves. And in the early pages, it gives a charge, it gives a challenge, it gives directives on how we are to conduct and order ourselves. And I remember opening the book and reading this statement. It says the church is to be a community of faith, entrusting itself to God alone, even at the risk of losing its life. It is not the mission of this church to survive. It is the mission of this church to advance the kingdom, even at the risk of losing its own life. Remain standing. So with the future of the church at risk, and they felt it, they came back to the table, took their card, and wrote one of the two words. Before Annabelle tallied the vote, I reminded them that the decision that they were making would be forgotten after the vote was taken, because session had voted. These elders, will remember me threatening to fire any of them if they ever broke ranks with the vote of session. I remember using the word submit. We will submit. You will submit to the will of session. Elders, do you remember those words? They vowed before God and each other to support the decision or be silent. Since this is an elder-led church, they decided for all of us to stay. It turned out the vote was not even close. More importantly, they decided to quit fighting each other and to get back to the business of fighting for mission and advancing the kingdom. These elders have been sorely tested. These are servant leaders that have a special place in my heart, and each of them are a hero to me. Can we applaud and say thank you? Thank you. You have a seat. Well, since that bodacious step of faith and their vote, one would expect that the blessings of God would pour out on us. But you want to know what God was able to do? Well, our worst fears were realized. Because of their vote, more people left. Over the next year, good people, dear friends, faithful saints, over 40 left this body. Their departure was painful. These were longtime members, elders with great leadership, deacons with incredible compassion, longtime Sunday school teachers and youth leaders. Each one that left hurt. When those people left, they took with them $160,000 in tithes and offerings. That represented several salaries, a lot of money for missions, vital programs. So the finance committee met and brought me in, and they announced to me the figure that would be left. I'm sure they expected me to be shocked. Surprised, dismayed, discouraged. What they did not expect was my reaction, which when they said that we would lose $160,000, I said, thank you, Jesus. Do you remember? Okay, David, you remember me doing that? Happened exactly like that. Well, I think they were shocked at this pretty new pastor responding in such a fashion. But let me tell you how I read that figure. For me, it said I would not have to persuade the elders that substantial changes had to be made. money would force us into all these changes. They'd galvanize the elders as to what we needed to do. Our finance committee said that we would have about $360,000 from the people. And I remember saying, let's figure out what kind of ministry we can do with that. And so we cut. And it was painful. You can't see the details of this chart, but our auditor, David Dow, pointed out a line in here where it shows that we cut $111,000 from the programs of this church. And we cut. We were still $50,000 away from our goal of having a balanced budget. Other churches have given me labels. At the Hayward Church, they called me the butcher. There we had to let five people go, good people. Here we had to release three, good people. So a presbytery group called the PET that was helping us with a discernment process and was monitoring me and found out what we had done. They brought me in and asked me to explain and justify some of the actions we were taking at the time. And at the end of that two-hour meeting, they gave me a new label. They said, Pastor Toby, we think that you are tender-hearted and cold-blooded. I said, I like that. Well, you want to hear what God then did? By the end of the year, by the end of that year, more people came than had left. We bottomed out an attendance of about 80 people. And since then, the attendance has increased about 50%. And here's more good news. I am told that as soon as I leave, more people will come. It's true. I've been told that. Well, you started to catch the vision of what God was doing. And it reflected itself in the giving, your giving. You started out a couple of years ago giving $128 a week on average. Now you're above $160, a couple thousand dollars a year, a 25% increase. There are significant developments that happened in these last 2 years, and we felt the loss of Jim Szymanski. You remember him? What a great man. He had been serving the music ministries of this church for 17 years. When he left, Paul Ferris came from Hayward, and he brought his companion dog, Fiona. And he skillfully introduced new music, and he made for a more inspiring worship. Paul brought the flock out of hiding, and he began to feature them in our worship. He pressed us, and he says, you know, this is a new millennium. We're in the 2000s, and it's time for us to get some screens. Remember, for the longest time, well, forever, we never had screens. And so he pressed us, and you put up $3,500, and he put up the screens. What I noticed was that you were no longer singing down into a hymn book. But now you were looking up and you were singing with your lungs full at the screens that were there. I grieved the day that he moved back to Michigan. But on his way out, he recommended Andrew. Andrew took the choir and started helping out with the worship services. The choir fell in love with him, and he had to deal with some long-term issues of the church. One was the sound system. Now, you have not noticed the sound system today. It's because the previous one, which was 20 years old, and I think we got a good deal on it, like from Radio Shack, It was dying. And you remember the Sundays when it would hiss and crackle, pop, and sometimes it would scream. And I prayed for the day that it would die. I would rather just speak out with my voice. I can project out. But the elders, it finally did die. And I was happy. The elders thought otherwise. And so they put up among themselves a bunch of money, and you added to it. And $32,000 later, we have a sound system that works. Over the year, in the last year, more than a year ago, you elected a mission study group for the purpose of discerning not whether we should stay or go. That issue was settled. But to discern the deeply held, non-negotiable values of this church and where we were to go and what we were to do. And so you saw today earlier these words on the screen. Put them up, please. Love God, love people, and serve. Say it with me. Love God, love people, and serve. There are people who really bought into that. I'm thinking of a Midge Ryder who loved this church and worshiped here with her husband for 11 years. She believed that God was able, and she wanted to make sure that this church had a future. And so she left part of her estate as a thank offering and gave this church almost $250,000. Her gift made it possible for us to go out and be able to find the best pastor that is out there. Without her substantial help, I don't know. If this church has been a blessing to you, would you consider leaving part of your estate, leaving at least a tithe of your estate to the church? Some of you don't have any children. They're well taken care of themselves already. So you can give it all. People in this church have been generous. You all have been learning also your spiritual gifts, and you've stepped into significant ministry. Two of you have finished some specialized training to become commissioned lay pastors, Daryl McCullough and Ann Kearns. You've gone through the seminary training, and you became commissioned lay pastors. They have been a godsend. Even today, Anne is going to be helping me with communion. And in the next several weeks, until a new pastor comes, they're going to be alternating back and forth in the preaching. And you're going to be inspired by what God is doing with them. Rebecca Chase is going to begin her training to become a commissioned lay pastor. She'll be the third. And there are two more. From the Casa de Reyes church, Ruth and Carlos. Carlos is in the back helping us, and they're going to become commissioned lay pastors. By the way, among the six churches that meet here, one of them is in the process of becoming a Presbyterian church. Our own Ruth Stevenson, are you here today? There you are. Was instrumental in bringing that group here. I mentioned earlier that Pastor Aldoberto and his church are, I saw them yesterday here cleaning up, doing a lot of work that was to make this place a beautiful place. Let me just tick off some things that you have done even in the last year. You have seen us work on an earthquake drill. You remember that? Where we had you escape this place and you did it inside of 40 seconds. We had active shooter training. We've had a prayer summit. You remember a healing prayer summit with Dan Prout? We served as a mass shelter. Remember when the fire started over here about a mile away, and you, for a week, hosted people who lost their places? And Kearns has been helping us with social justice matters, housing, and other issues. If any of you have a heart attack, you'll be pleased to know that we have some AED machines around here, and people are trained to do it. small groups. Rebecca's been helping with that. We had some political candidates stand right here, and you heard their positions, and I hope you do that again in the future. Our missions teams and groups have been serving all sorts of people, and you've been working on spiritual gifts so that you're operating now with the gift that God has given to you. Again, the elders have heard the human cry of our community and the need for substantial housing, affordable housing. So an idea has come forward, and it's a bodacious plan of us, along with other churches, putting up 50 tiny homes and getting a grant from Presbytery for $1 million. We have a tiny home team that is actively working on that concept. The session has authorized the purchase of one of them, and we're going to make all of our mistakes on that one. We're going to learn from it, and then we're going to proceed to get the others. We're going to miss each other, Judy and I. Today is a joyful day. It's a celebration. I hope this is inspiring worship services. But behind our eyelids, there's a heartache. And that is that we're going to dearly miss you. You have become our friends. It's going to take a while. The party that follows is going to help. But you are an elder-led church, and you're going to be led by capable elders. You have commissioned lay pastors that are going to be helping you. Your pastor nominating committee has put in hundreds of hours to do something that only God is able to do, and that is to bring God's choice here. We're praying that they will make a recommendation, and we believe that God's choice will be here in the future. They have suffered through a number of disappointments, but they've stayed faithful. I pray that you will love your new pastor as much as you have loved Judy and me. In the next hour, we're going to be celebrating our time together and also our 50th wedding anniversary. Can you imagine that? How many of you have been married 50 or more years? Look at this. Folks, it can be done. Tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., Terry Jones and Tony and Mike are going to be at our place moving us out and back to Nevada City. I don't know what our next assignment is. I don't have a clue. A couple of months ago, I was very anxious. But then I had to keep on remembering, and God was drilling inside of me the lesson that God is able. God is able. Say that with me. God is able. This next week, I do have a couple of interviews with some churches, and I don't know what's going to happen with that. Something that I've wanted to do for the last year is for us to say this statement together. I'll say it at the very end, like I normally do, but I want us to say it together. Would you please say it with me? God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power at work in us. Oh, stop. That power. To him be honor and glory in the church and in his Son, Jesus Christ, forever and ever. Amen.